It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Final Big Five of the week, and we got some good news, actually, to start out the Big Five. Well, I mean, we got some good news earlier. Not so much good news for one Padre pitcher, but Yu Darvish has been reinstated to the team. He's on the 15-day IL, and he is making his way back to the team. But Matt Waldron, on the other hand, I need to get to my counter right here before I forget.
Number five.
Matt Waldron has been sent down to AAA El Paso yesterday, and it was slightly a surprise to us, but we think this is just, as Mike Schilt said, kind of a reset for him. So, Chris, how many starts does he miss from the Padres' rotation?
It might depend on how soon Yu Darvish comes back. I mean, it's possible Matt Waldron won't get another start this year for the Padres. If Yu Darvish comes back soon enough and they go with a five-man the rest of the way, it's also possible that he could come back in a week or two. This is not the world's biggest deal anymore. Guys get sent down all the time. You know, we saw Arizona send down their good young center fielder, Alec Thomas. Cardinals sent down their slugger, Nolan Gorman. You know, it's happened here and there around baseball now. And guys can go down to the minor leagues and, you know, relax and get it back together and get another opportunity. Matt Waldron, for whatever reason, doesn't have a good feel for the knuckleball right now. And I think Tony will probably tell you he doesn't really have a good feel for his other pitches, which is what's really getting him into trouble. And the Padres have the ability to replace him right now. I think Matt Waldron's had an amazing year, and as I said yesterday, he's pitching like a number five starter does. And this is what number five. This is why you're a number five starter, because you're good sometimes and not other times. And we'll see.
All right, Tony, how many starts do you think Matt Waldron misses from the Padres rotation?
I think it depends. To just kind of answer Chris's question, I would say yes. He didn't have feel for knuckleball. And his last start, I don't know that it was the other pitches. I think he threw those well, but remember, he's throwing a knuckleball because the other pitches aren't good enough on their own, right? He doesn't have the velocity, to really be super effective. And so the knuckleball was kind of a bridge so that he could use that other stuff effectively along with this really good knuckleball. And so, going down nowadays is a lot different. I mean, he's not being necessarily sent down purely because he hasn't been productive or needs to go down and work on some things. I think part of this is rest for him. I mean, he's the only guy that has taken the ball every fifth day in this rotation all season long outside of maybe Cease. Everybody else has had breaks at some point in time. I mean, technically even Cease did. He came out, started that one game, and got rained out, or the delay pushed it back. I mean, everybody has had something except for him. He's taking it every fifth day. So, and when you consider the fact that he is well beyond the amount of innings he's ever thrown, it makes sense that he's a little balky and a little maybe fatiguing a little bit. So this gives him a chance to go down, and as Chris said, as Mike Shield said, reset. He may not get another start. I mean, depending on what happens with you and how fast he's able to get back or whatever the game plan is for him. Who's to say Martin Perez doesn't hit a struggle spot where maybe you do have to bring him up? I mean, it's not foreseeable now, but I would say, four or five starts, it wasn't foreseeable that Matt Waldron would be in this spot. So this game is, it takes turns and that you don't expect all the time. So I think it's tough to say how many starts he'll get at this point.
Number four.
All right, this one's kind of long, but it's a new CIF rule, and I don't know if you guys have heard this. I was watching the news this morning and saw this, but it's a new CIF rule that may cause havoc on high school sports, and it all has to do with the weather. All outdoor sports cannot be played over a certain temperature as measured by a wet bulb globe temperature thermometer. There are three categories. Almost all CIF San Diego section schools are Category 1, which states temperatures must be 86.2 degrees or cooler for student athletes to participate in practices and games. Category 2 schools have a temp of 89.9, and Category 3 schools in the desert have a temp of 92. Coaches and administrators understand the rule, but they all say hydration is still a top priority for them. The fallout would be having to move varsity games back later in the night, and some JV games maybe move them to Thursday night or Saturday morning. And then the final thing I should mention, coaches are saying some Category 1 schools should be recategorized because the weather is different between, say, Ramona High School and Torrey Pines High School. So, Tony, is this some people are saying this is the wussification of America. Is this the wussification of America?
I don't know if it's the wussification of America, but pretty sure we all played in pretty high temperatures all the time.
Yeah.
We definitely didn't have a break. And that's not to say it was done right then, but I don't know. It is the way we are moving. I don't think there are going to be too many games in jeopardy in San Diego. You know, as I think about it, the hot months here are what? You start getting into like June. By that time, you know, maybe May. By that time, you know, school's out. And so, you know, by the time we roll around, I guess maybe some of these early football
like
games
October.
Could have a shot of being in jeopardy of that. But I think the high today is like 80, 87, 88. So most of the way.
Yeah, but you can't do that. 86.2 for most of
the schools. Not if you're in a desert, you're fine.
Yeah,
you know,
if you're in the desert, but that's
if you're
not
in
the majority of something.
Be quiet, man. Let me finish my point.
Okay.
Jesus.
Thank you, Tony. I mean, God, I've been trying to get him to do this for months now,
man.
And he obviously doesn't listen to me, so maybe you can make some headway in this department.
My point is I don't think it'll be a huge factor. It does seem a little bit much, but maybe the health officials are leading. I don't know, man. I just know that I definitely played in Arizona. I mean, we started games at like 8 and 7 in the morning because we were trying to avoid. It was still like 90 degrees at that point. So I don't know. I don't know if it's the wussification, but I assume they're doing what's best for the kids.
Yes. Chris, wussification of America?
Well, first of all, they may have just ended high school football as we know it in the city of Palm Springs and
Why?
The city of Phoenix.
What happened?
I don't know. It's 100 degrees there.
Oh.
I mean, they're never going to be able to play. They're never going to be able to practice. There's probably other cities, I think, that are going to be in similar situations. They may have to play games at 11 p.m. at night, midnight, 4 in the morning. I don't know when it's going to be cool enough. But, you know, you sound like you don't care if you come on here right now and you say, yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not only did we practice in absurd heat, we weren't even allowed to drink water.
It was a punishment.
Yes.
It was making you tougher.
I mean, you know, we all, I don't know. I say this one also. I mean, I rode my bike and skated my skateboard without a helmet. Was that smart? Obviously not. It's smarter to have a helmet on. But, you know, most of us survived. We did lose a few along the way, and I'm sorry about that. But it sounds callous to say it, but I do think that we are getting wussier and wussier as we go along. And I guess I just have to stick with that and try to soften my stance a little bit. But, yeah, this is a little crazy to me. If you're tired, come off the field. I don't get it anymore. And when you come off the field, make sure you collect your trophy for participating.
Oh, wow.
Listen to
just
you.
Needed to throw that one in there.
Number three.
New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones hasn't had it easy since signing his four-year, $160 million extension after helping lead his team to a playoff appearance in 2022. During some inter-squad practices between the Giants and the Jets this week, Sauce Gardner was asked about Daniel Jones, and this is what he had to say.
He's a good quarterback. You feel me? I thought I was about to pick him off today. I had a little cloud rep. You know, he had looked at the last minute to try to throw the check down to Wandell. You know, I thought I had to pick, but he kept it. I mean, competitive periods. It was very competitive, man. It was great. Like, I had fun out there today, you know.
I'm squirming in my seat, Scravy. How much longer do we have to put up with this? Thank you.
The reason I did that is because people are saying that Sauce did Daniel Jones no favors during this because he could have just said, hey, he's a good quarterback, moved on.
He literally said he's a good quarterback.
Will you let me finish? I'm in such a weird mood. Chris, what does this response tell you?
It tells me that Sauce Gardner isn't the all-time greatest quote. I think I'll start with that. I'm going to say I was squirming in my seat trying to, you know, help get him through that. If I wanted to, I could read into it and say that, you know, he wanted to say something negative about Daniel Jones. And rather than do that, he kept telling himself to shut up, and that's why he didn't say anything at all. But unless he actually said something negative, which he didn't.
No, he didn't.
You know, let him off. Let's go. Move on. Hey, this is much ado about nothing. I mean, you know, enough people are out there criticizing Daniel Jones. Sauce Gardner jumping on the pile isn't going to matter right now. So,
yeah.
I do. He probably wanted to be a little more honest and say something, you know, I'll try to fill it in for him. But, you know, Daniel Jones is a good quarterback, but, hey, he doesn't scare me as much as the likes of Dak Prescott, et cetera, or Jalen Hurts. But he maybe, you know, he realized I wasn't smart. So, you know, he it's like not sending your text. He didn't hit send.
Don't press send.
Right. He didn't press send. So right. I think in the end he was smart, although it was difficult.
Tony, what does this response from Sauce tell you?
That he was being smart. That's what it tells me. It's because they will clip this whatever was going in his thought bubbles. And if he said it out loud, they would clip it.
They're going to write his thought bubbles in the New York papers.
They're probably
anyway.
Going to write his thought bubbles yeah. anyway. You're right.
Yeah.
But he didn't actually say it. And, you know, the way karma works a lot of times is you talk bad. You know what comes to mind? Remember Jalen Ramsey talking about Josh Allen and how that turned out for him, right? And Jalen Ramsey is, by a lot of people's count, already a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, the fact that he said that and then Josh Allen proceeded to, you know, do what he did kind of made him look kind of crazy. And so I think maybe that went across Sauce Gardner's mind as he was really trying to restrain himself from entertaining us a little bit and instead chose the pro way and it rambled on a little bit. He was just – he had to check himself a couple times, you can hear in that.
Like, he was like, having a fight with himself,
he
for
was
sure.
fighting with himself not to say anything stupid there. But he did it. Good job, Sauce.
He accomplished it.
I like how he just goes, shoo. Just like, shoo.
He did say, shoo.
He was trying to.
We need to clip that right
shoo,
away.
Shoo, okay. Number two. Braves closer Raisel Iglesias has been pretty good as of late. He's been perfect for more than 3 weeks now. He worked his 11th consecutive perfect inning and 10th straight perfect outing to secure the Braves' 3-2 win over the Phillies on Thursday night at Truist Park. He became just the third pitcher in AL-NL history to make at least 10 consecutive perfect appearances of at least one inning each and the first to do so in more than 10 years. So, Tony, where does this rank on the impressive meter?
I'm sorry, give it to me again.
So he's retired like 30-plus batters in a row, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So 11th consecutive
starts.
Perfect inning.
Or 11th consecutive.
10th straight perfect outing. So.
All right.
That's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. It's definitely up there. I mean, I think of Eric Gagne's, like, consecutive save thing he had going there for
in the
80s,
I think he got.
That was 90s, late 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but 80 saves, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like, it was crazy. That, to me, is impressive. That's
84.
Tippity top of impressive. But what Iglesias has done is certainly impressive, man, especially in today's day. It seems like it's harder to find those type of reliable guys at the back end, harder and harder. So the fact that he's doing it this well, yeah, it's definitely top tier impressive.
Chris?
It's good. It's the second best thing a reliever's done this year in baseball. I would still put Jeremy Estrada's 13 consecutive strikeouts ahead of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was absolutely incredible that you could, over the course of four or five games, not allow anybody to hit the ball. So I thought that was better. I believe the all-time major league record is in the low 40s for consecutive batters retired. Starting pitchers, you know, over two starts, maybe getting the final 20 in one game and then the first 25 in another game or something like that. So I don't think Iglesias is quite there. But it's a good streak. It really is.
Yuzmero Petit.
I don't know.
46 straight batters. San Francisco's. Yeah, that's
that
what it's
probably
saying.
Is it. So,
oh, you know. That's right. He was like. Was he just relieving though?
He might have been starting in there too. Mm. But yeah, 46 is that's you know getting up there. So Iglesias is doing a hell of a job, and it's one of the quiet reasons why the Braves are still hanging on to this wild card spot, despite everybody expecting them to cough it up.
All right. Let's get to the last one.
Number one.
Now, for some reason, the NFL media is looking for any way possible to boost the Bears right now. A team that actually hasn't made the playoffs since 2020 and only twice since 2011. Here's a random fact, though, that they have come up with to prove that the Bears are going to make the playoffs. They finished the preseason 4-0 and have also scored a lot of points. The Bears are the seventh team since 2009 to finish a preseason with a point differential of plus 60 or more, and the six previous teams that did this all made the playoffs, including two teams that went on to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So, Chris, with that said, do the Bears make the playoffs?
If third place in the NFC North is good enough to make the playoffs, they'll make it. I don't care what the Bears do. I don't care how good Caleb Williams is. The Bears are not close to the Detroit Lions, and I don't think they're that close to the Green Bay Packers. So, to me, whatever improvement the Bears make is going to have a limit because I don't think they can go higher than third. They also have a coach that has to prove to me he can get the job done at this level. And, you know, they're making him out to be a genius on Hard Knocks, but we know better. We've watched the Bears. We've watched what they, you know, throw out there on a weekly basis. But, you know, look, you add this this quarterback, you put in Keenan Allen, and you re-extend DJ Moore, and you draft Adunze, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody thinks the Bears are that. Don't fall for it.
Tony, are the Bears going to make the playoffs?
Unlike my partner here, I'm going to make an adjustment from the last time I spoke this way about a head coach. I believe it was the Kneecap Cannibal.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
Appeared.
Wow. True, true.
That appeared on this very same show, and proceeded to kind of change my mind about him. And I'm kind of getting the same feel about Mr. Eberflus here.
Uh-huh.
I think he might. I don't know if I think he knows what he's doing yet, but I think he might have enough pieces to actually make some noise. And I'm, okay. You know, I haven't been sold on Green Bay. I know they did their thing, and Love looks a lot better, and I actually like the way he runs that team, but not sold on them, or their head coach for that matter. So I'm going to say yes, they get in the playoffs this year.
How about that? Oh, how about that? Right. Well, maybe Matt Eberflus, he's got to get a nickname. He's got to say something good.
Flusy. Floozy.
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 I don't know if you guys saw the first episode, but his wife changed his hairstyle.
What?
She did him a solid.
And she did him a major solid, Tony. This
he
guy
didn't just changed his hairstyle.
Oh, his
she
beard,
got him to grow some facial hair
and just
was,
and groom himself. The guy looked like a complete mismatch out there on the field.
Really?
Oh yeah, you can barely even recognize him from what he used to look like while racing up and down. Basically, he had his hair was flying in every different direction,
and he was clean shaven.
And he was clean shaven, but he didn't look like he knew what he was doing. Tony's right. Now he at least looks like he knows what he's doing. So
typically,
this could be a step in the right direction.
As Chris can probably attest to, typically the women in your life do help you step up your game a little bit in terms.
Yes,
of
you'll find that out
your
someday, Scrappy.
Will I? I am a fashion icon, Chris.
Yes, you are. You and your black T-shirts.
That's true. You know, what's his name? Steve Jobs wore black turtlenecks forever.
Well, you're right, following in his footsteps,
yes.
Apparently.
Yes, yes. All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back.
You look great in a black turtleneck, by the way. You should get a couple of those. Yeah.
I do not look good in turtlenecks. I don't. We'll be back.
I don't know. When you say the word turtleneck, the first thing that happens to me is sweat beads start pouring down my head. I got to have breath there in the neck area.
Okay. With that, we'll be back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.